Sound Technique. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 713-780-3776. Did Arian Foster get injured in a game after the game was decided?
He was they were down 21 at Miami, and Bill O'Brien, for some reason, kept him in the game with like 6 minutes left, and he tore his Achilles, and his career was over.
Try to make it a 14-point game. Those coaches are weird about that, man.
I know. No, he. I remember this because I was writing for Bleacher Report at the time, and I spent a lot of time writing about it and chronicling all the times where Bill O'Brien would leave people in when the games were far in hand, especially with Arian Foster. But yeah, the game was completely out of hand. The Miami won that game was like 50-21, and it was like 40-0 at halftime. And for some reason, with 6 minutes, the game down three scores, Bill O'Brien still had Arian Foster in the game, and he tore his Achilles.
I hate it whenever teams still do that. Teams will leave quarterbacks in the game up 21.
We talked about it, Matt Schaub. There was no reason. There was no reason the backup quarterback couldn't do the QB sneak.
Yeah. But it's you see this all the time. Up 21 points, starting quarterback in the game. Why is he still in the game up 21? Well, he's the only quarterback that we worked in the victory formation. Your backup quarterback can't put it on the knee. You're up 21. If he fumbles and the other team scoops and scores, you still win by 14.
There was another team recently that lost in the last couple of years. It just came up in the last week or so that they lost a significant player for the exact same thing. The fact that they had, you know, one of their premier franchise-type players in a game that was completely in hand way too late and got hurt. It's like Thibodeau. Thibodeau's known for that with the Knicks. Yeah. The fact that he grinds his up 30, he's still going to grind his best players and rotational guys, and then he loses them.
It's brutal. You hate to see it. I still wish JJ would have got the sack on Romo. I don't remember that play.
I vaguely do.
I remember it being talked about.
He slipped out, I believe.
But I don't remember I remember the play. I don't remember the significance of not making it. Like, they lost the game. What did it cost them? Do y'all remember? Like, I don't remember the significance of it.
Other than just losing to the Cowboys.
Yeah, they lost it overtime at the Cowboys that year. I think that would have sealed the game, if memory serves.
And it was just, it's just a Houston-Dallas thing. It really didn't have any significance on the year or whatever.
That would have been the 2012 season, I believe. So, I mean, they still went 12-4 that year. It's not like it kept them from. Although that might have got them a bye, but
yeah, maybe it cost them. Maybe it cost them a home game in the divisional round. Lost in New England.
I'm surprised we haven't had at least one listener say Tank Dell blocking on a goal line play.
Yeah,
don't remind me.
But I'm just saying because that could have been impactful.
I think it was impactful,
but for the rest of the season, it was, and then in the playoffs. That's a weapon.
No, it was very impactful.
Yeah.
Impactful. No argument. I mean, they had nothing other than Nico when by the time they got to the playoffs against the divisional game against the Ravens.
Dalton Schultz.
I stand by my statement.
They gave Dalton Schultz some money. I said what I said. I mean, they paid Dalton Schultz a significant amount of money in the offseason.
I stand by my statement. They had nothing other than Nico Collins. They could have used Tank, yeah. If he hadn't been blocking like a guard on the goal line, that would have been. I don't think it flips the game and they beat Baltimore, but I think it's more competitive.
Trading back instead of picking Clowney, that would have been good in hindsight. Khalil Mack was in that trade or that draft.
Was.
That would have been nice. I mean, that's.
So was Aaron Donald, right?
Super revisionist history, yeah.
Aaron Donald was further down, though. He was picked at 11.
He would have had to trade really.
I thought it was 13, too.
Okay, well, either way.
I thought Mac might have been 11. Or I may be flipping those. I don't remember.
I thought Mac was more like in the 8 range.
It might be 8 and 13. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go look now. So he was closest on that. Who do you have the most faith in here? 2014 draft. Mike Evans. I don't know why I said Mike Evans. Who are we talking about?
Aaron Mac. Donald.
Aaron Donald Mac. Went 13. Cool. Mac went 5.
So Mac would have been the pick if they traded back. It probably wouldn't have been Donald.
I didn't go over on either one. Price is right, guy.
Do you remember who the first quarterback taken in that draft?
Blake Bortles, 3rd overall.
I saw him playing college. UCF.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles. Didn't they beat Baylor in a New Year's 6 game?
They did, yeah.
I think that they did, or they played him at least. All right, 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. A lot of people are saying the Texan Letterman jackets. You still probably lose the game. Like, I don't think it was.
Yeah, they got their ass kicked that day.
I don't think because you wore the Letterman jacket was the reason you lost the game. It just added to the embarrassment. You show up in those things and you get smoked on Monday Night Football, but you still lose the game, you know?
Yeah, you assume that if you just do over and do that game over and not do the letter jackets, maybe the outcome's different. I doubt it, but maybe.
Yeah. All right. Is it time for the Crane Gang to admit the totality of their GM failings and DFA Rafael Montero?
To me, if you're asking the question, the app, it should have been done already. And I think it is. I think we saw enough of him to realize yet again that this has bigger ramifications too. But the fact that if you do that and you get out from under that once and for all, maybe it also subdues the two guys that we're talking about that had way too much influence that made the decisions in the first place that were horrible. That when you talk about Abreu, the move that they've already made, and the fact that you do it, and that was, I guess, Bagwell gets the most credit or discredit for doing that move. And then before there was a Bagwell, there was Jim Crane going out and overpaying Rafael Montero. The combination of the $30 million and the fact that you can, maybe to the benefit of everybody that loves this team, realize that if it was each done by one of the guys, that the two of them might get together and say, maybe we should sit the rest of them out for a while. Maybe we should take a step back. Because I've seen way too much of Rafael Montero, and it took too long with Abreu. And when you look at what Montero is not doing for you compared to what he is paid to do, and the fact that the money's going to be the money regardless, I don't want to see him on the mound again unless it's just utter mop-up duty. I've seen way too much of him to know that he just can't get guys out. And this team chasing is, even if it's one game right now, and the wild card to get involved, make sure you stay in that too. I don't need to see him anymore.
Yeah, my pushback that I would have here is the Astros don't have a lot of big league arms. I've been on the train of, I think that it's in play. I think that it's in play that the Astros DFA Rafael Montero at some point this year. Now, there have been some hits since I've said this. Luis Garcia, when does he return? Justin Verlander, when does he return? Lance McCullers, I'm not even going to entertain the idea of him returning.
Did you hear Dana's comments last week when you were on vacation?
Yeah, I think he threw a shot at Lance McCullers.
Well, but the fact that he said, you know, hopefully he can be our sixth inning guy a la Montero in September.
I didn't see the sixth inning. I saw the bullpen quote.
Yeah, he could be. Yeah, I heard him on the flagship.
Oh, okay.
Talking about it.
Well, he also said he got his second opinion, which it's like, that seems like a little bit of a shot at McCullers. Like he was the guy demanding a second opinion. Like, well, he went out and got his. Like, maybe I'm reading too much into that. But, yeah, I did notice that. So, like, what would be the play here? Like, you DFA – like, I'm not opposed to this.
Well, yeah, Penn Murphy. Montero, I don't know where Penn Murphy is. But Penn Murphy, I think, is a veteran relief pitcher that has pitched enough big league baseball that if that's my option right now, then I'm fine with that.
He just has to get healthy. So, it's still, like, I don't know, a month or two away.
Maybe, right? But
I don't know his
timeline. I thought his timeline was more towards between now and the end of July.
He's not pitching in games.
I mean, we don't know this pitching game. Behind, he might be throwing.
He's behind Luis Garcia. Like, he's going to have to go out in a rehab assignment and probably use up close to his 30 days. Yeah. And we know that the Astros haven't started his rehab assignment. So
thank God he's not a starter. He's behind Garcia. Out as much. But yeah, I mean, he's got to throw. But I mean, look, I would be fine if Taylor Scott became your Montero guy.
Sure, sure. But I'm talking about being on the roster. Because, I mean, Rafael Montero is not your sixth inning guy right now. Taylor Scott's being used in much higher leverage spots. Rafael Montero is your mop-up guy. I've been calling him mop-up Montero for a month. Like, he's an $11.5 million mop-up guy. He's the most expensive mop-up guy in all of baseball. It is what he is. You can hide a mop-up guy. Like, this isn't Contreras Jose Abreu where he's playing every single day. Yeah, but you're getting rid of a major league. Sure, but you're getting rid of a major league arm. You know what I mean? Like, yes, Rafael Montero stinks. Who was that?
Or Caleb Ort.
Yeah, I liked Ort more than Montero. That's fine. And if that's your move, okay, cool. But now you are losing some positional depth whenever you do lack depth in your pitching staff. So I'm not opposed to this. I think it's probably a return from injury or two away, or a trade for a pitcher or two away. I think it's definitely on the table that Rafael Montero gets DFA'd this season. I don't think it's imminent. I think there is a pitcher or two that needs to be added back to the team. Not a Caleb Orp type, not a Nick Hernandez type, not a Contreras type. I think it's an injury return. It could be Verlander and or a guy that you trade for. I think it's on the table this year. I think it's on the table by the end of the month.
I think it should be. I think it should have been already done. But at the same time, I also have that fear and reservation. They don't want to admit another mistake, and they think that maybe you can fix him in the offseason to where they find some way to try and stash him away and get into his last year of his deal, thinking there might be a way to salvage him.
I would hate that, because I don't know what the relief pitcher equivalent of Jose Abreu would be, but I mean, right now Montero's got an 8.49 ERA since the beginning of June. I don't know if that's the Jose Abreu equivalent of relief pitchers, but it's pretty damn bad. Probably. And I don't trust him being anything other than mop-up, like you said.
Yes, yeah, it probably is the equivalent, but you can hide that more than you can hide an everyday first baseman. You could only pitch him up five, or not even up five. You could only pitch him when you're down by five. Like, you could hide a mop-up guy. You can't hide an everyday player. So even if he is the equivalent, it's in a much lower importance of position. So I don't think it's happening by the end of the All-Star break. I think it could happen based on injury return and or trade by the July 30th trade deadline. I do think it's on the table. And look, I've brought this up, and people think I'm crazy for thinking that. I definitely think it's on the table. And I also would say that this would be another signal, like we were talking about earlier, Jose Abreu, maybe that's a sign that the Astros are getting away from, you know, their you call them the Crane Gang, Bagwell, Reggie, Jim Crane. Maybe it would be another sign that, okay, we weren't very good at this. Dana?
Step out of the way.
This is yours, baby.
Let Dana do what you were hired to do that we weren't letting you do previously, for sure.
And I think that the symbolism there, I think, would be more impactful than Rafael Montero being the mop-up guy on your big league team. And I would like the symbolism more than anything else. Because, yes, he is terrible. Yes, he is awful. I do not want him on this team anymore. You know, here's another outside-the-box name for you guys. Mm-hmm. Forrest Whitley's been pitching pretty good.
I saw that.
Forrest Whitley's been pitching okay
out there in Sugarland. I've seen the tweets.
His stuff plays. His stuff is nasty.
He's got velocity, for sure.
If we've seen some of the other guys get a look with this squad because of the fact that they're just in dire need of arms in the bullpen, you could do a lot worse than trying him out before he gets hurt again. I mean, throw him in there as quickly as you can while he's healthy to see it, even if you save him for a low-leverage situation. But to see him against major league hitting, to see if it translates from Sugarland, and if he does it once, then throw him out there again. We saw it with like the guys you mentioned with Nick Hernandez and with the guys that they've already thrown out there. Give him a shot.
Yeah, another relief pitcher arm that I've seen hot takes about. Has Josh Hader been a disappointment? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
8-3-4-1, you better be up more than five if you're putting him in. Yeah, I recanted immediately whenever I said that. He doesn't pitch with a 10-run lead. He's only pitching whenever you're down by 3 runs or more. Mop-up Montero. Most expensive mop-up man in the game.
What was the game where they were up in the ninth, 7 or 8, and it got to be...
He made it a little hairy.
Yeah.
Made it a little bit of a sweat. 0002, going to be 2 DFAs. Bagwell has to be the worst temporary general manager in the history of sports. Over Bill O'Brien or that Hopkins deal. The worst. Who's the worst temporary GM, Bagwell or O'Brien?
Well, but doesn't Easterby get some in there too?
I don't know how much Easterby was GMing.
I
think it was more middle of the year whenever you're not really making moves, though. Because Bill O'Brien was the general manager during the offseason. Maybe Easterby was his right-hand man, but Bill O'Brien was calling the shots.
Right.
But O'Brien was calling the shots, except whenever he drafted the defensive end who just left and went to Minnesota. Why am I blanking on his name?
Grenard.
Remember whenever Easterby drafted Grenard, whenever they were doing the COVID draft?
That the
tantrum? Yeah. He goes, that one's on you. That was the best pick. That was the best pick of that draft. Easterby nailed it. But O'Brien was calling the shots until he got fired 4 games in. So Easterby became the general manager after that, but it was in season. Like, you're picking up guys, you're filling out the roster. Not to say that it's not important, it's just not as important if you were GMing the offseason.
But still, you're looking at guys that get cut or pickups.
No, it still matters. Yeah. But I wouldn't say it's as impactful as an offseason general manager.
No.
And I don't think that Easterby caused... From a roster point of view, because I think a lot of Easterby stuff was like psychological. From a roster point of view, I don't think Easterby had nearly as much impact as Bill O'Brien. Which now, add the Bagwell element to the equation. Who was the worst GM between the two, Bagwell or O'Brien?
But on the Bagwell thing, that's what, when we started that discussion, I think that Bagwell doesn't get, and rightfully so, I think, but I think that the first move made was Crane himself doing the Montero deal, and he was speaking on it.
How do you know that that was Crane himself,
though? I don't know. I'm saying I don't know for a fact.
I think we can lump all those moves into that group. Okay. Like, we don't know who exactly was pulling the strings.
I just know that Crane was the one talking about it. Crane was the guy that said, I wanted to keep from the minute free agency start or the offseason started, I wanted to keep that entire bullpen together. You know, I want him back. I wanted him back on the roster. He was the one that was actually speaking on Montero, which is, and then when the Abreu thing, it was more, it seemed like Bagwell was everybody was asking him, and Bagwell was the guy right there tied to Abreu.
Yeah, yeah. So I would go. This is a hard one. I would probably go. I think the worst would still probably be O'Brien. Like, you've been able to sustain Bagwell's poor moves and still be a winning team because your roster was so good to be able to sustain it. I probably lean O'Brien slightly over Bagwell. How dare I talk about Bagwell? He's an icon in this city. Right now, Bagwell, but Hopkins' trade was utterly egregious. I think Bagwell's a little prisoner of the moment. Like, O'Brien's moves led to a downfall of the organization and hitting rock bottom. I think the Astros have corrected it.
The Tunsil trade. It wasn't ideal, the Stills part of it, and the not getting the extension done, a lot of those things. Then the D-Hop deal, that was another one. I'm trying to think of what other things that he gets credited for that were bad personnel moves.
Yeah.
Handing out some bad contract extensions for sure. Nick Martin was a terrible one.
Merciless.
Yeah, Whitney Merciless. He was never a difference maker.
Yeah, Nick Martin was a big, right.
And, I mean, he was very willy-nilly. He traded a third-rounder for Duke Johnson. I mean, there's a lot of those moves that you can start stacking on each top of each other.
And the mistake he made with the Laramie Tunsil thing wasn't even it was to wait until after the deal was made to get the contract done. The mistake was telling Clowney that they were about to trade him, giving Clowney the ability to then just not sign his franchise tag and hold the team hostage so he could direct where he would want to go. If he hadn't told Clowney that, they could have waited till Clowney came in, he signs his franchise tag, mm-hmm. then they trade him directly for Tunsil one-on-one, and you save the two first and the second yeah. that they end up trading away.
It's O'Brien, I think, by landslide. Yeah, actually. Like, O'Brien was just stupid. O'Brien was just not, like, what Bagwell's worst in, if it even was Bagwell, was that he was willing to give a lot of money to players that... I mean, Montero wasn't top of market, but Jose Abreu was. Like, was it a failure? Did it not work? Obviously. But what was Bagwell's worst crime? That he paid the best free agent first baseman at the time the most money. It was a mistake. It was a mistake.
And then Montero's deal.
Yeah.
And then the Michael Brantley deal. He still ended up playing for you, but he said he was going to be ready opening day.
But all they really cost them there was money, and the team was good enough to sustain those bad contracts, where Bill O'Brien was just like flat-out negligence and ignorance, whereas Bagwell just spent a lot of money on players who didn't really materialize or got hurt. So I would go O'Brien by a mile over Bagwell, I think.
I think you've talked me into it. I mean, it's pretty obvious. When you think about all the little ones that are more forgotten under the radar compared to the big ones.
All right. So another signing for the Astros. 3062, Bagwell gets a reprieve because he was gifted the keys with a better team and the team had to win in spite of him. No, for all the other reasons we just brought up. Like, O'Brien was a lot of negligence and ignorance and was the power figure. Like, Bagwell still had to answer to Crane, right? Like, Crane still had to give him the full power to do whatever he wanted. The Astros signed Josh Hader in the offseason to a big deal. $95 million, 5 years, $19 million per year. Hader's numbers haven't been as good as a lot of people expected and or to the amount of money that he's being paid. And I've seen a lot of people call Josh Hader a disappointment. Is Josh Hader a disappointment? 713-780-3776. What do you think?
When you just asked me, just right off the cuff, my answer is yes. My answer is yes, because the guy that you were paying all that money to, the guy you were signing up to get and making sure you were going to have for the next 5 years, was supposed to be the most dominant relief pitcher in the game, was supposed to be a guy that, doesn't give up the long balls, doesn't give up, his numbers stack up, like, historically in terms of his earned run average and his effectiveness, his strikeouts, all those other things. And the fact that you've got a guy that doesn't seem like he is the head and shoulders cut above anybody, even in his own bullpen, we were talking about, who should be closing games or, where the pecking order was. The fact is he's been a disappointment because of the money he makes, because of what he's done previously and all of his other stops. And the fact that you went out for this guy to be one third of the reason why the games were supposed to be over after six innings, and that hasn't been the case. And he's given up a lot of long balls. He still's given up hits every time when he makes an appearance, whether he gets out of it or not and gets the saves. He gets the saves even when they're multi-run saves, and he ends up giving up a run or two before getting the save. I think that's disappointing.
I'm going to push back. He hadn't been disappointing to me. He hasn't lived up to, like, elite closer, best closer in the game. I think he's making more money than, like, the return that he's giving you. I would say that. How many saves do you think Hader has blown?
Oh, no, I know. I think we talked about it last week. I think he's 16 for 16, right?
He's blown one. He's blown one. Okay. He's blown one save all year.
See, I didn't think he had even blown one.
He's blown one save. Now, he has lost some games because he comes into games whenever they're tied.
18 in a row, but the blown save was at the very
beginning
of the year.
I thought it was 18 for 19.
Yeah, well, I think it's 18 in a row, but I think the blown save was at the very beginning of the year before the streak started. If I might be off on that, but yeah, either way, the save number is impressive.
Now he's lost some games for you because he comes in tie games, gives up like walk off home runs to dudes who don't hit home runs anymore, like Christian Vasquez. I don't think that he has been a disappointment, and I think some of his peripheral numbers are better than what he's actually pitched to. Like, I think an ERA for relievers is a bit overrated. You get one bad game, it skews the numbers because you're not pitching as many innings. 3.86 ERA, that's not bad either, though, by the way. 3.86 isn't awful, which is what Hader has. Now, it's not $19 million for a closer number, but would it surprise you if I told you that Josh Hader's whip is the best he's had since 2021? He's got a whip of 1 this year. Last year was 1.1. The year prior to that, it was 1.28, and then his best whip in 21 was under 1. It was .835. Hader's whip is better than it's ever been since 2021. So, like,
it is surprising.
His numbers are better than, like, the ERA. His strikeout per 9 is up there.
I think home runs.
He's given up some home runs. He's been prone to the donks. 8 home runs this year, which is a lot.
And his max was, what, 15?
15 was his career high, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been... I don't know if any closer is worth $19 million a year. I don't believe in spending big and long-term money to relievers. I think Hader has been better than people give him credit for. I would not call Josh Hader a disappointment.
I think to the reasons you gave because of the fact that they paid what they did and that this is a guy that's not going to be here short-term, he's going to be here for 4 more after this one, I think that's why a lot of people would say it's been disappointing because – when you do give a reliever that much money and you do basically identify he was the best reliever in the free agency market and you got him the way you got him with the contract that you gave him, you expect this dude's lights out every time he gets on the hill, and he hasn't been that.
Eric says, nah, after the first month, he was horrible the first month, but a 2.5 ERA since then. I take that before the season if you asked. Aaron, I'm fine with him. If he had half as many save opportunities as his top competitors, he would have a ton more. His worst outings have been in tied games or even behind. That is true. Not sure it matters, but it hasn't impressed. Lucky for him, he's got time to change opinions. The Astros is one of those rare teams where the postseason is the only thing that matters, assuming they make it just still out. That's a good point. Like, if he has a very mediocre regular season, but the Astros make the postseason, and then he's this dominant postseason figure, we're all going to be over the moon with Josh Hader.
That's the recency bias, too. Yeah,
true. Importance, though, and
right.
The stakes.
But at the same time, forgiven.
I think you could say that for all three guys in the back of the bullpen. No matter what kind of struggles they may or may not have in the regular season, if they make it and all three guys then make it a 6-inning game throughout the playoffs, and they become who we wanted them to be all season long, then a lot of people are going to forget Ryan Presley's hiccups in the middle of the season or Abreu's or whoever.
Yeah, yeah. The postseason's when you really start getting you win.
You earn your keep.
You win favor or you lose favor. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, the regular season kind of gets thrown out the window once you're a playoff team. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Hader been a disappointment. Also, Willibits. You never know what you're going to get with the Willibits. You just know it's going to be very, very good. Or mediocre, but mostly good. Mostly good. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Killer Bees. And I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this. What an enormous spin.
Let's play. Is it Bush League?
Rock the Mic is returned. It is time to find the newest hot sports podcast. The winner of Rock the Mic will receive a podcast hosted on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel. Whether you already have a podcast or have always wanted to start one, now is your chance. You can enter by sending a 3 to 5 minute video giving your best Houston sports take to rockthemic975@gmail.com. The winner will be announced at our live finale August 23rd at Carbach Brewery. Get your entries in now to rockthemic975@gmail.com. rockthemic975@gmail.com. I bet you zero of the Twitchers will try to do that. All right. What did our girl say?
Bush League or not?
Bush League or not? Is it Bush League or not? I was surprised to see Sean working today. Well, I had heard that Sean Mapes is taking a week off this week to play the new football, the video game NCAA. What are you calling it, 25?
25,
NCAA 25. I guess his vacation starts tomorrow?
He starts tomorrow because technically with him getting off at 3, the game would have been out until he got home anyway.
Because the game came out today at 4?
Yeah, the early release, you could download it at 4 o'clock.
You got the early...
I don't play video games anymore. I'm not going to say that I'm retired. I'm going to say it's a hiatus. Because I think if Brandon Baby plays, I'll probably pick. I mean, I play Mario Kart with the oldest sometimes. Okay. He's not too much into video games. We play Mario Kart or something like that.
So far, my girls aren't. So.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't play video games for my sole entertainment anymore. If it's one of my random boys, then I'll play with them. But
I think the blank girls are going to be more focused already on phones than they are video games.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm on a hiatus. I haven't played in a long time. So I'm not going to pick it up. I've kind of toyed with the idea. I don't think it's a good idea at my stage of life and the schedule I have to be picking up a video game hobby at this stage of my life.
Carpal tunnel.
I'm not worried about that.
And arthritis.
Not worried about
that. No, not worried about that at all.
It's more, commitment to the family, commitment to the job, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's not really a problem.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to pick up the video game. But is it Bush League or not that Mapes is taking a week off of work to play the new NCAA 25 video game?
It's just weird. It's just weird to me that I understand because different strokes for different folks. Everybody's got hobbies and things. But to take your vacation time where you could literally be doing a ton of things and finding like beachy destinations or doing whatever you want to do, you're taking a week off because of video game release?
Hold on, Joel, but you're looking at this as a family man who's going to take a beach vacation. Sean Mapes is a 28-year-old single man with no responsibilities. He's not going to take time off and go by himself off to a Caribbean island. I mean,
you have friends? I don't know whether he's
going to go with male friends to a Caribbean island?
If there's bars and there's bikinis and there's there's opportunities.
Your male friends wear bikinis?
No. Wow, Brian got very much tickled.
It wasn't that good.
No, that was quite the cackle for that one.
It was very mediocre.
I'm getting 2 hours of sleep a night for the last 9 days. It's not going to take a lot right now.
It was a 5 at best. Brian acted like it was a 10.
I might save that. Save that audio. Man, plenty of times to take a vacation with your buddies to Vegas or anywhere else, and you can find a party.
Yeah, but you also have to remember, not to go too deep inside or pull back the curtain too far. I don't think Sean or people in doing what Sean does, and I know this because I'm doing it, have Caribbean and Vegas, spend a ton of money there type of money. So, it's your vacation time. Do what makes you happy. Playing video games makes you happy. Do it.
I'm kind of torn on this one. King of Twitch says he doesn't have a girlfriend, so it's a good point. Slow says don't hobby shame blankers. If he wants to play all day, let the man play.
It's just weird.
I don't think it's Bush League. I think
it's weird.
Because, I mean, he works hard. Mapes works hard. He works hard. Mm-hmm. So he's earned his days off. Like, he definitely earned those, deserves those. So I'm not going
he
to...
He hasn't earned Palillo-like days.
No, of course not. Right. No one can. No one will. So
that's half a year.
I don't want a PTO shame. Like, take your time however you want to take your time. So I'm going to say it's not Bush League.
Mm-hmm.
Would I ever take time off to play video games? Certainly not now. At his age, without girlfriend, without family, without much of a social life,
we're
without
not painting
much going
a pretty picture
for him.
Right now.
really put a lot on him.
I don't think that I would have done this at his stage of life.
Well, you know where I stand because I have done this and would do this if I could, but I've got a 3-year-old
as
now.
As you said,
so
you're also lucky you didn't do this time.
I'm lucky I didn't do this because I'd be screwed because I don't have power till Friday at best case anyway.
Even, I would just rather use my days elsewhere, even at his stage of
me
life.
Me too.
Like, think about it too. Like, how much is he coming in?
Look, if you were talking about a game that was coming out every year, I would be maybe more on your side. But we haven't had this game. I say we as the gamers who have been waiting for this. This game hasn't come out since 2013. So it's not just the run-of-mill game that's coming out every single year. This is a return after 11 years away when the Ed O'Bannon case took it away from us.
But how much time is he really losing by working?
Now, that's a fair argument because he does get
that's
off.
That's where I'm coming
he
from.
He does get off at 3. So,
and what time does he show up here, you think? 9:30? 9? Maybe. Let's give him benefit of the doubt.
Let's say 9. Let's say 9.
So that's 9 to 3. So 6 hours he's losing, but he could also recoup some of that by just not sleeping as much those days.
Just don't sleep, yeah.
So, like, I don't know how much time he's actually gaining in play time by taking time off here.
Like, I could see you doing this, Brian, for the next Jason Statham movie for a day. I couldn't see you doing it all week. Like,
I've
even for one
off,
of one of your Marvels or your horror films. I don't know, but a whole week?
And I have taken vacation time for movies, but in video games. But
I could never do, like, you can still watch the movie on a day that you work.
Yeah, no, you could, but sometimes you won't. Like, especially if it's a movie you've been anticipating, like in this case, for a number of years. You don't want to run the risk of spoilers, so sometimes you just want to see it right away so you don't have to worry about, you know, seeing something that would ruin the movie experience.
Okay.
But at that a makes certain point.
Like I did that for Avengers, I don't know if it was Infinity War or Endgame. I think it was Endgame.
Oh, but now you bring up that. Like, I thought I was on your side for a moment, and then you say the movie that you were doing it for, and then you lost
me. I've also done it for a Batman movie. But, it's sometimes you just don't want to risk, because you're right, because I could wait till, like, if it comes out on Thursday, I could wait till Saturday to see it, but then you might see a spoiler, because that's something that people do nowadays, because they like to be a-holes.
Yeah, the spoiler thing is a good point. It just, you know, the movie you're watching.
Yeah, and it would also be, like, if it was, like 3 different movies in a week. Then I could see, okay, well, like the Costner thing, like the fact that he's got several different...
That movie's terrible, by the way.
I've heard mixed. Ugh. But at the same time, if it's going to be like 2 or 3 movies in a release period of a week's time, then maybe that makes some sense, and because of the spoiler alerts. But from a video game perspective, especially if you can compromise on sleep, you come to work and you can eat at the same time. So you can eat, you can catch up, you can get your nourishment now, and you get your everything else you need. So then when you're done with work, you can go right back to your video game.
Yeah, the best point so far, I guess, against what Sean's doing is with the point of being made of he gets off at 3, he could stay up to midnight playing it. Like, it'd be more of a case for, like, someone who works my schedule, who's, you know, working in the morning in the side job, work comes here, then gets home with the family, you know, at 7, 8 o'clock and doesn't really have time for it. So it would be more beneficial for someone with my schedule than Sean's, but, yeah, I still don't blame him either way.
Questionable to me.
I think it's questionable. Like, I don't think it's Bush League at all, but I just think it's weird.
Yeah, not Bush League. I think Dell's plan is the right one. Like, yeah, I get off, I leave at 12. I still have plenty of game time here. Like, he's still not.
There's
he's still going to get his
like,
hours
you don't need
in.
It. He's going to be doing it the rest of the day, and you can still
I just don't
go to
think,
work.
I don't think that Mapes is going to gain a whole lot of play time as much as he thinks by being off of work.
Sean's point was if he wants the game for 14 hours, he wants to have that option.
It's a lot of hours.
It is.
Game.
It is a lot of hours. It is a lot of hours.
I can't do anything for 14 hours these days.
Wasn't Brendan Riley like that? Where he would just.
I don't think he ever took a day off to game.
No. Yeah. He would just lock himself up in the apartment and have food delivered and play the game.
I mean,
a lot,
food delivery is popular nowadays.
Yeah, but I don't think you take time off of work for that.
Yeah.
You take time off for what you enjoy. Mapes enjoys the college football.
It's hard for me to take time off and not leave the city.
Yeah,
or at least have something planned.
Yeah.
I think the perspective changes though once you're a family man in your 30s and 40s. Again, Mapes is 28 and has no kids, no wife, no responsibility. It changes.
I hope things get better for him. I hope he enters the stage of life where he doesn't need to use PTO to play NCAA football. I really hope that for him. I wish the best for him. All right, 713-783
between games. He could look at new headbands. Mm-hmm. He could do some things.
He does look like Roaring Kitty. He definitely does. He's a big Roaring Kitty on NCAA 25 as he's trying to lead Texas to an SEC title. Do you think he plays with Texas?
Oh, for
no,
sure.
Well, maybe one of his dynasties, but he's also going to play some
more
smaller
than
schools.
One dynasty?
Of course. You also got to take the small schools and lead them back to prominence. He actually did a Mount Rushmore plus one on the bullpen this week of the small schools he's going to lead back into relevance.
I've seen some people posting their college, like their top five, that they're going to lead to glory on NCAA 25.
He's going to lead Rice to glory, Texas State. I believe Sam Houston. I forget the other ones. Oh, Tulane was one of them.
Tulane's been at glory. Yeah. Tulane's been to a New Year's Six game.
Yeah, but they're
Fritz.
Not there
That's
every
Willie
year.
Fritz, yeah.
I mean, it sounds like Mapes is trying to follow the Fritz path here. Sam, Tulane, Well, who was your team? Who are you going to play with, Brian?
Just mostly Texas. I don't think I have time to do five dynasties.
Yeah.
Well, take some time off. You can make time.
I'd like to, but I got a kid.
You can do it too.
Kid stuff.
Kids, I thought kid the kid's stuff. Out of town.
Well, yeah, right now, but I can't take time off. I don't have the PTO available because I use the PTO for kid stuff.
Okay. We should have Blank play this game for content.
There's no chance.
Just for content. You do anything for content.
Mace versus Blank, showdown.
Or Brian versus Blank.
That wouldn't even be a competition.
That's the fun of it.
Not for me, it isn't.
Take one for the team.
Okay.
Roger Dorn, stick the elbow out, take one for the team. I'll play Brian for content. I'll do it for the team. You take on Mapes, I'll take on Brian. Or vice versa.
You already have some kind of concept of the.
I have no idea how to
controllers.
Play
this. I'm not even there. It's been that long since I played video games.
Do they have Atari mode?
They don't. No.
Yeah, see,
there's no Pong controls.
We should do this for content, I think.
I'm game.
I think it'd be good for content. We can blast it on social. We can get our brains beaten in by the millennials, even though I am a millennial.
You're a millennial
but
too,
I identify
pal.
As a boomer. All right, car wreck of the day. What's our car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! I'll give you a bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Soccer matters coming up next. Glenn Davis. Eric Svachinko will be a live guest in studio with Glenn Davis. Glenn picks his live guest on the most difficult name to pronunciate. He's like, I'm going to get Brandon a name. I'm going to find the most difficult name of the Dynamo squad.
That's why he's coming back, because Svachinko has been on the show before.
Svachinko. I think it is.
Svachinko.
I think you were right. I was butchering it for the bit.
I know, but totally Brian tried to say it to me. He butchered it worse than you did.
Oh, I didn't.
Svachinko. I can't type in my own Twitter handle.
You got seven in there somehow. I don't know.
I can't even type in my own Twitter handle.
No, you can't. Not
so.
Is that your side hustle now? You're getting straight.
Try. No.
I don't. $6.99.
I don't think anyone would pay for that, Joel.
Okay, $6.99.
I don't think I would get $6.99 for that.
Okay. Eric Svachinko will be in studio talking to Glenn. Also, Glenn will talk about Copa America and the Euro, the best of both of those. I watched the Spain England match yesterday. Once the Astros game went final, good finish.
That was the car wreck of the day for me.
Why?
The lead up to it. The fact that it was delayed by
No, that wasn't the Euro. That was the
Copa America. Yeah, the Copa America to me was the one that. Because I watched some of that, but my goodness.
I can't believe England didn't score on that doubleheader. They had a shot to equalize.
Messi's ankle. Doubleheader. Nasty.
You're still talking about the wrong match.
Okay.
I didn't see the. I didn't watch the Copa.
It was weird because he hurt his ankle, and then at halftime walking off, he looked like he was absolutely fine. And then all of a sudden, they had the one shot where he couldn't go anymore, and he had his spike in his sock off, and it was nasty.
Lionel McCullers?
Yes. In this case, yes.
All right, that was one of your car wrecks of the
day. Copa America was the whole crowd thing. The fact that you had people and not enough security and were not prepared for, thousands and thousands of non-ticketed people to, bum rush and bull rush and storm a gate, get in, go through air conditioning vents once they got in the building to hide and then come out in the stadium. They completely destroyed one of the escalators.
I saw people running from security.
Yeah. And then after they got in, they found bagged popcorn that they were going to, and they started using it like confetti, and just random fans that got in for free were throwing it around. One of the players' moms was terrified, and the player had to come out and get the mom.
I saw some highlights of it.
It's crazy.
I thought they pushed back the start time originally to let Biden talk. So it was all the crowd thing?
Oh, yeah. It was all. And then they had to lock down one of the entrances for the game and not be able to use it because of the escalator and all the damage. And all the fans were there were fans that paid $2,000 a ticket that couldn't get in because of it.
It's crazy. I've always said good things about the Rice. I think the Rice is great. I think it's a fantastic academic school. I think their athletics are underrated. I think that they're going in the right direction in the American. I'm a big fan of Rice. Even though I'm a Cougar guy, I like to root for the crosstown team. Dane Myers, former Rice Owl. They saw him in the series against the he's a Marlin. He was in the series against the Astros, local kid, Katie Taylor. He broke his left ankle kicking a clubhouse door after he was ejected from a game Saturday. Myers was mad the home plate umpire didn't check on an attempted check swing that he went around on. Went around, and it actually happened in the Houston series, too. I think it's why he was mad.
This was
because it happened twice. He kicked the clubhouse door and fractured his left ankle.
Jeez.
What a way to go down.
By the way, before we get out, the Yankees have to be nominated, too.
What'd they do?
The fact that in the ninth inning when they were wrapping up a game, that they had two horrible errors. Volpe bobbled a forced out at second, and then Verdugo came in on a ball that went over his head, and the Orioles scored like five in the ninth and won.
No better team than that.
Perfect for that.
Who's winning?
I'd say the Copa America.
All right, Copa America, you're the winner. You're the car wreck of the
day. Glenn will talk about it, I'm
which
sure.
Perfect segue to Glenn Davis and Soccer Matters coming up next. Eric Spajinchenko. Copa America and Euro. Thanks to Brian. He's Brankers. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye, Houston.
ESPN 97.5.